Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, Internet world. Welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy life and schedule to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, November 17th, 2022. It's been a little over 8 weeks since the world heard the name Mahsa Amini, and the diligent, brave Iranian freedom fighters are still out on the street fighting for their lives. And the thing that makes this protest so painful is the number of innocent young school children, young teenage girls and boys that have been murdered. And every day I have to post the story of a child who wasn't able to grow up and fulfill their dreams, especially the dream of freedom. And this continues on, and it's very painful. And today on the broadcast, I'm going to have my special guest, prophetic teacher Heather Joy, rejoin us. She has an incredible ministry to Iranians. She spends a lot of time online ministering to them, preaching the gospel to them, and just supporting them through this very painful process. And you can imagine the families of the victims, the young children, the schoolgirls, the schoolboys that have lost them, and the pain that they are enduring and suffering through. And the topic of today's program with Heather, we're going to be talking about a subject you might not be familiar with, or if you've heard about, you may have some misconceptions about, but it's the subject of deliverance. And it's very important to talk about this topic because we're dealing with traumatized lives. We're dealing with lives that have been altered and may never be the same again. And that's a very difficult situation. But the name of this program, the subtitle, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran, is very important because we reach out to Iranians and we become their voice on this program. We tell their stories, but we don't just talk about all of the violence and the death that's going on in Iran. My goal is to offer hope and freedom. And that hope and freedom comes by having a personal, life-transforming relationship with Jesus. And that's the same thing that Heather does when she talks with Iranians. She will help them in practical ways, helping them with English. She will be a voice for them, but she also ministers to them one-on-one. And that's what this program is all about. So today on the Cross in the Desert, we're going to spend some time talking about an aspect of her ministry as a prophetic teacher, and that is the ministry of deliverance. So you may have a lot of misunderstandings about what deliverance is. You may not really know what it is. That's why I invited Heather this morning, so that she can tell you and explain to you how she reaches out to Iranians. And the story of a 10-year-old boy this morning on my timeline was just devastating to read about. Innocent young boy who had a future ahead of him. He was going to be an inventor, and yet his life was cruelly ended by a gunshot by security forces. So today we're going to talk about deliverance, and my special guest Heather has just come online. I want to welcome Heather Joy now, my special guest, prophetic teacher, to the Cross in the Desert. Good morning, and welcome to the program, Heather.
Good morning, Randy. Glad to be back.
It is good to have you back again. Before you called in, I was just explaining exactly the ministry that you have to Iranians. Now, it was a few weeks ago that you were a guest in the program, so I think I want to help people that haven't heard about you before to become acquainted with you. So before we talk about the subject today that we've decided to talk about, the subject of the deliverance, say a few words about yourself, and then we'll get started.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those of you who don't know about me yet, my name is Heather, and I started ministry with Iranians back in 2008. And started prophesying over the nation in 2009 till present, and just have had an amazing ministry that God has completely taken full authority of, and I am just so blessed to see Him come in power and to see Iranians be free.
Heather, it's been 8 weeks since the world first heard the name Mahsa Amini,
mm-hmm.
and the brave freedom fighters of Iran are not giving up. I've got pictures on my timeline of the backs, the bare backs of women, peppered with pellets, bruises, cuts, blood, and on top of that, this has been going on intensely. As long as you have been reaching out to Iranians, have you ever, in your experience, seen anything that even compares to this uprising and revolution?
Absolutely not. I mean, you are starting to see other nations rise up as well, and I think that's because it all started with Iranians. I mentioned previously that the two biggest things we can learn from Iranians are courage and sacrifice, and this revolution proves that. This revolution has proved a massive amount of sacrifice in the name of freedom.
One of the most painful things that I've witnessed in the last 8 weeks is the senseless, cruel murder of young schoolgirls, both women and men.
Absolutely.
Young teenage girls. And as I was sharing before you came on, it's so painful to have to post their stories up. These are beautiful young children that have never had a chance to experience life, experience their dreams, and have any freedom. How painful is that for you to read their stories?
Yeah, it definitely hurts. It hurts because, you know, I can't imagine what it's like being in a nation where you're looked at as second class and you're fighting for your basic human rights as a human being. But to have the courage at such a young age to go out and to fight for that freedom, to fight for those rights. And the fact that it costs, the heartbreaking thing is freedom costs, you know, in blood. And it's sad to me. It hurts my heart because it's like, how threatened do you have to be to go against children? You know, these children have their whole lives ahead of them. And in a split second, it was taken away from them just like that.
It's very heartbreaking, very heart-wrenching. Now, as a prophetic teacher, and you meet with Iranians on a pretty regular basis, you bring the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. You've been
Absolutely.
Doing this for a long, long time. And we wanted to talk about a subject today that is very important to you. Mm-hmm. And it's the subject of deliverance. And I'm thinking of the families of these victims and the traumatized lives that are left behind. Deliverance is a subject that is vast, but it's important this morning that we get an understanding of what deliverance is and what deliverance is not. And this is very personal to you, the subject of deliverance. Can you share with our audience about deliverance, why it's so personal to you, first of all?
Yeah, absolutely. So in its basic definition, deliverance is setting the captives free. And I can personally attest to that. I had my first deliverance back in 2015 when I received a healing miracle. And I'm currently in the process of receiving further deliverance as well for other things that I've experienced throughout my life. And I think that's why I have such a strong affinity with Iranians, specifically Iranian women, but even Iranian men have been through significant trauma as well. And so to be on the flip side, to go from trauma to healing and then to impart that healing, I don't take that lightly. I think it's absolutely beautiful. You have a lot of people who, you know, shy away from deliverance or want nothing to do with it. I've known of people who have said, you know, deliverance is gross. You know, people are, you know, vomiting or they're coughing or this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, it's a beautiful experience. And it is absolutely vital to the body of Christ.
Exactly. Why is it that you closely identify, especially with Iranian women and the trauma that they suffered?
Yeah, absolutely. So part of my personal testimony, I've been through some of the similar things that Iranian women have been through, just a different perpetrator. So I am a rape survivor, and I am a sexual assault survivor. And you will commonly see that in Iran. You will commonly have Iranian women who have been raped multiple times, who have been sexually assaulted multiple times, either by, you know, male family members, or especially you'll see it in the prisons. So with the revolution now, you have Iranian women who have been sexually assaulted and who have been raped by these guards and by these police, the morality police. And so just to go through that, I think it really resonates. It's one thing when you talk to somebody and you might, you know, say things that are well-intentioned, but you haven't walked those shoes. Somebody who has walked in those shoes, you can easily relate to. You can easily build trust with. And I think having that foundation of trust is really what brings complete healing. And operating in the authority of Christ, you know, that healing is complete.
Exactly. That's a traumatic thing to have to go through. It's an unbelievable thing. And God has given you an enormous privilege to relate to Iranian women because you've suffered in very similar ways. It was just last month, and I think that you were a guest then, where we talked about Almita Abbasi, who, as far as I know, is still missing. She was brought into a hospital. I think it was Tehran, and she had been sexually assaulted and raped, vaginal and anal bleeding. She was brought there, treated, and then not released to her family, but kidnapped again by security forces. So this goes on. This is a common thing, as you mentioned, in the prisons, how women are violated. And many of them that have been arrested and released, there was a story of a girl named Elmira, who, after she was finally released, she was very fortunate, she ended up committing suicide. So you bring your testimony to Iranian women, and you are able to identify with them, and that's so important. You mentioned deliverance, I want us to just hear what the Word of God has to say on this subject, and I want your feedback and your reaction to the ministry of Christ, who said when he began his ministry, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." This is who Jesus is, and this is what you bring to Iranians. Does that define that precious deliverance that you're speaking of?
Absolutely, yeah. Actually, that verse is actually my life verse when it comes to operating in the ministry of deliverance. And when you study the life of Jesus, Jesus, most of his ministry was centered on healing and deliverance. And not only was he the example for that, but he also commissioned his disciples to bring healing and to cast out demons as well. See, when you're a committed follower of Jesus, there should be a demonstration of God's power, right? It's that anointing. It's the anointing that breaks those chains, that breaks those yokes. And, you know, all throughout the Gospels, you'll see, too, that the same authority that Jesus possessed, and if you're a committed follower of Jesus, you have that same authority to do exactly what Jesus did.
Exactly. He has commissioned his church, the body of Christ, to go out and cleanse the hurting and the broken, to heal the sick, to bring hope and healing to them. And you mentioned this is who Jesus was. There's a story in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus came into the land of Gethsemane, and there was a man in chains in a graveyard, in a tomb, who was obviously just demon-possessed. And this is a man that screamed and cried out day and night, and the villagers would listen to this man. And Jesus came and took authority over the spirits that were keeping him in bondage. And it talks about that he was sitting up and in his right mind. He wanted to follow Jesus, but Jesus says, no, go back and tell the good news of what happened to you. So this is a perfect picture of who Jesus is. He brings hope and healing to the broken, and that's exactly what you do. You mentioned in the open some of the things about deliverance. What exactly are the misconceptions to this subject of deliverance for Christians? What is deliverance and what is not deliverance?
Yeah, absolutely. So deliverance, as I mentioned earlier, in its simplest definition, is setting the captives free. Now, this is a controversial topic in the Christian circles. And the biggest misconception is that Christians can't have demons. Unfortunately, this is not true. While we're living in a broken world, the enemy especially is going to go, he's going to do everything he can to distract Christians, to take Christians down. Now, what does that mean, though? That means that for those who are like, oh, Christians can't have demons, well, here's the thing. You can't be possessed. So we need to define some terms here. There's a difference between possession and oppression. Christians cannot be possessed, but they can be oppressed. So what does that look like? Well, that means that your spirit is sealed by Holy Spirit. But your soul realm, which is your mind, your will, and emotions, that is where demons can take entrance. People can open portals, for example, horror movies. And that's another controversial opinion. But horror movies, for example, can open a portal. And that is the whole, you know, ministry of deliverance is to go into that soul realm and provide freedom there. And then that freedom, then you need to maintain that deliverance. See, another misconception is most people think it's a one and done thing. Well, no, deliverance is an ongoing thing. For example, if I'm, you know, delivering someone from pornography, right? And they, you know, 2 months down the line, they go back to it. They go back to pornography. Well, then what happens is you've now reopened that portal, but now demons are going to come in that are seven times worse than what they were delivered from. So deliverance is a lifestyle. It's not a one-time thing. Now, for me, in my journey through deliverance, you have some people who, when they're delivered, you know, it's instantaneous, and they then maintain their deliverance from there. For others like myself, it comes in layers. So my first deliverance, I was dying of organ failure for 3 years, and the Lord provided healing in a very miraculous way overnight, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why couldn't I deal with these other issues then as well? And he said, you weren't ready. And I look back and I was not ready. And now I am. And now being in that journey now of healing and deliverance and seeing the healing in that and being able to then not only take my own healing and take accountability of my own healing, but also then to impart that healing to others, whether it's people who have been down the same path of, you know, rape and sexual assault, or whether it's people who have been through other means of trauma, whatever that looks like. However God wants to heal. He'll provide that healing. He'll provide that deliverance if you want it. You have to want it.
This is very important. Some of the things you said, I want to recap, that Christians who have been filled with the Spirit of God has come to take residence in them. That is salvation and the filling of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not share his habitation with demonic spirits. So you are filled with the Spirit. You are possessed by the Spirit, but that doesn't mean that you cannot be oppressed. This is a very important distinction that you made so that people understand from the get-go that we're not talking about an actual Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit. He's possessed by it, if you will. He is not possessed, but he can be oppressed. Now, that was a great distinction. This is very important. Now, in deliverance, I'm thinking of the scripture in Colossians 1:13, where God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son, the kingdom of light. There is an accountability, though, with deliverance.
Yes.
You mentioned it, pornography and things like that. We open the door as Christians if we dabble in the occult.
Right.
Ouija boards, tarot cards, astrology.
Yes.
If you're playing with that and you're filling your mind with that, you're opening up darkness in your soul.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
This is, you're asking for torment. So this is an example. With this, what you're talking about, we have a responsibility to not feed our spiritual nature with those kinds of practices. Isn't that right?
Correct, yeah. And see, that's the thing is what you feed, you will receive. So if you continue to feed your flesh, whatever those doors look like for you, if you feed your flesh, that is what you're going to receive. And oftentimes when we feed our flesh, we're feeding into things that are not of benefit to us, and we're opening portals that shouldn't be opened. Now, if we feed our spirit with the Word of God, with fellowship with other believers, with things that are pleasing before the Lord, then our spirit man is built up, and we don't then give a foot, so to speak, to the devil, right? We don't want to give any sort of room, any sort of open portal for the devil to take a legal right, because that's what it is. When you open a door, whether you recognize it or not, you give that demon a legal right to be there. So when you're coming for deliverance is basically severing that. It's severing that covenant. It's severing that legal right for that demon to be there, and it has to leave. But in order for that deliverance to be successful, you have to want it. Because if you don't want to be set free, then those demons are going to be like, well, I have a legal right to be here. I'm not going to leave. It's when you want to be set free that Holy Spirit can come in and do what needs to be done. He can come in and provide that healing. Holy Spirit can provide that deliverance for you and ultimately set you free.
Exactly. There are many Bible verses on this subject where to resist the devil and he will flee. 2 Corinthians 2:11, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. So the Apostle Paul said, we need to be aware of his schemes. We're not to be obsessed with everything being a demon or a devil, but the Bible presents the balance to not be unaware of the schemes of Satan. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, another avenue I think that you invite the darkness in and demonic spirits is in, you mentioned, we mentioned some examples of the occult, but also an area of great trauma in people's lives is the area of unforgiveness, which again is when a person continues in that, it's like a cancer, and they are inviting demonic entities to oppress them. Would that be a good example?
Yeah. Commonly what you'll find too in deliverance is a lot of people are remaining in bondage because they have unforgiveness there, whether that's against a perpetrator, whether that's against, you know, a friend. Maybe they were betrayed by a friend or a family member. So deliverance is absolutely important. One of the things that I stress in deliverance is forgiveness. So I will walk people through a forgiveness process as well as a renouncing process. Both of those processes, before the actual deliverance takes place, allows those chains to be unlocked, right? So if somebody is in bondage, it's like spiritually speaking, there's chains around them, and these chains are locked. Well, when you renounce and when you forgive, those locks unhook themselves, so to speak. And so then you can come in with deliverance, and that's where fully those chains then can come off somebody completely. You also mentioned a significant thing, too, that we don't want to be so consumed of everything's a demon, right? Because then that's kind of the extreme of the other side. And in fact, if we look back in the Gospels, Jesus gives us authority. As a believer, as a committed follower of Jesus, you have the authority. Mark 3:15 says you have the authority to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Mark 16, you know, these signs shall accompany those that believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will speak in new tongues. So when you operate in the authority, when you know your authority, your authority is known in the spiritual realms as well. So when you understand your authority in Christ, demons understand that authority too, and they have to obey that.
Yes, it reminds me of the biblical story in the book of Acts of the seven sons of Sceva that tried to cast out, they were the famous Jewish exorcists, they tried to cast out these demons, and the demons responded, you know, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but we don't know who you are. So there are people that don't know, not only don't know their authority, but have no business doing that because they really don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is not using the name of Jesus as a magic wand. You have to be a committed believer, knowing your authority, being filled with his Spirit, living a life that is honoring to the Lord. And that's what you have been doing. I want to shift our focus to something that's so important that what you do. And you've talked to me on occasions about this. Can you share with us, without mentioning names, your experiences one-on-one with Iranian women or men and ministering to them in the area of deliverance? And what was their problem? Because that's so important, how God has used you in such a personal way with Iranians who have become Christians but are dealing with these oppressive incidences in their life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, I consider it a great privilege for the Lord to use me in such a way where he's setting Iranians free. Now, I've done one-on-one, as you mentioned, one-on-one deliverance with Iranians, and what I find is most of them are dealing with very similar things. Most of them are dealing with a trauma bond that came in when the regime came in. And that trauma bond comes through many forms, whether that's guilt, whether that's condemnation, whether that is, as we mentioned earlier, sexual assault and rape. And so just taking them through that forgiveness, that renouncing even some of them, I will have them renounce covenants that have taken a hold of their life. And that also breaks the chains as well. A lot of them, too, are dealing with a lot of men, especially, and they won't admit this, but a lot of men even are dealing with low self-esteem. And they're dealing with condemnation in such a way where they're taking on too much on their shoulders emotionally. And the Lord has said to them, you know, you're not meant to carry this. And as soon as they hear these things, they break down. And it's beautiful to see deliverance in effect, to see the Lord move the way that he wants to move. And that's my biggest thing with deliverance and with anything in my ministry is that I want the Lord to take control. However he chooses to move, however he chooses to set people free, to be a part of that is absolutely beautiful. There was one individual, a young man who I spent 3.5 hours ministering to, and he was dealing with low self-esteem. He was dealing with the trauma bond that I mentioned, and so I had that released off of him, and I usually ask for feedback afterwards, and I asked him, I said, how do you feel? And he said, I feel lighter. He said, I wasn't expecting this, but I feel lighter. Thank you for taking the time to do this. And I absolutely was like, it's Jesus. You know, he loves you. He wants to see you set free. He doesn't want to see you suffering with these things. And there was another young gal who, beautiful young gal. She was dealing with the aftermath of sexual assault and abuse. By not only family members, but also by prison guards as well, or morality police. And as I released those chains off of her, I asked her to go through forgiveness and renouncing, and then we did the full deliverance. And as those chains began releasing off of her, the Lord gave me a word for her. And he said to her, you are not what has been done to you. You are precious. You are loved. You are not dirty. And that's the thing I think too with Iranian women that I relate to as well, is there's with sexual abuse and rape, there's two different levels of forgiveness that you have to go through. One is to forgive your perpetrators. The other is to forgive yourself. You'll find that a lot of Iranian women, and I myself have gone through this, is that you have to forgive yourself, because oftentimes those of us who have been through rape and sexual assault, we feel dirty. And so the Lord told this young Iranian beautiful woman that she's not dirty, that she's precious in his sight, and that he wants to set her free. And so it's just amazing to see Iranians who are so used to trauma, who are so used to, just the other night I was talking with somebody and I said, you know, you're not used to life being spoken over you, are you? And he said, no. And so you'll find that a lot of Iranians are searching for something deeper. And so when they have an encounter with Jesus through healing that is brought into their hearts, that is brought into their souls, I cannot tell you how beautiful that is to witness, like my heart, to see Iranians free and to have the Lord gave me a confirmation the other day that Iran is going to be free. And I believe very strongly, and he can do this even now before the regime falls completely, but I know when the regime falls completely that he is going to bring a team together for me, and we are going to bring deliverance to Iran. And Iran is going to completely look different than it ever has been. And I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord for that responsibility. And I just pray, you know, that more Iranians have a direct encounter with Jesus through deliverance, through healing, through whatever way he wants to operate.
You meet with Iranians online, and when you talk to them and you offer them the hope, when you see their
faces
and you share with them, describe their reactions.
Yeah. I have noticed in many appointments that I've had with Iranians, they go from being downcast and low self-esteem and doubting themselves to, by the end of it, they are, you can see a lightness. You can see a lightness in their body, in their posture, in their facial expressions. There's a lightness there. There's a hope that is resurfacing. And that's really cool to see.
Two words that come to me as you're describing this is guilt and shame. Jesus cleanses us from guilt and from shame. And there is nothing more beautiful when you're ministering to someone to see their eyes that were once downcast and despair to light up when you share Christ, when you share the Word of God with them. And you've had that one-on-one experience with them. You've even met them in person. And so God has taken a terrible tragedy in your life, Heather. And I've said this many times as we've talked before. He has brought such beauty out of the ashes of your suffering. And I know you're going to have an incredible ministry. You're like a diamond in the rough that has gone through so much pressure and so much hurt. And now you're shining and radiating God's love in their lives. And there's nothing that is more important than that, is there? I mean, there's so many things that we get so involved with, but to see how Jesus changes lives like that, there's nothing that compares with that.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's absolutely, as you said, nothing that compares. And that's what you'll find, too, is in the Gospels, when Jesus did do healing or he did do deliverance, you know, he said, like, share, you know, go back to the towns, go back to the cities and tell them what I've done. And I've found being in deliverance and being in ministry for as many years as I have is that when you share your testimony, see, and that's what Iranians are looking for, is they're looking for more of a storytelling, more of a personal experience. Right. And so that demonstration of God's power in your own life, when you share, you know, what the Lord has done for you, and that not only can he do it for you, but he can do it for them. He can do it for anybody. That is the biggest thing that I find. And for a while, I didn't share my story because I thought, well, it doesn't matter. But I'm finding that, as you know, as I see the Lord's faithfulness in my life and everything that the Lord has delivered me from, I should not be speaking with you today, Randy. You know, I shouldn't be here, but I am by the grace of God. And so to share, you know, personally what Jesus has done for me, and that the same thing that he did for me, the same shame that he took away, the same guilt, the same, you know, traumas that he took from me, that he healed me from, he can do the same. And I would be remiss not to participate in that, not to freely give what has been given to me. And in this case, Jesus has given me freedom that I didn't think would ever happen, but in his grace and in his mercy, it has. And so to give that same opportunity for not only freedom, but an encounter with Jesus who loves you, who wants to see you set free. He doesn't want to see you in bondage. You were not created for that. You were not created to be in bondage and in torment and struggling with all these things. Now, granted, we live in a broken world, and yeah, you will, you know, have struggles. You know, not everything, even as a committed follower of Jesus, you know, you're not exempt from struggles. You're not exempt from suffering, but it's what you do with it. Whew, thank you, Holy Spirit. It's what you do with
Amen.
It that matters.
Mm-hmm. You know, and what we have to offer Iranians, they have been the witnesses of what false religion does to people in Iran. They've seen the fruit of Islam. But when we talk to Iranians, we're talking about not religion, but a love relationship with the God of the universe.
Absolutely.
And as you talk to your Iranian friends online, do they understand that you're not promoting religion? You're promoting a vital, life-transforming relationship with Jesus.
Right. Yeah. So it really depends on the person. You have a number of Iranians that, because they've seen what religion has done and the way that religion has been used, they don't really want anything with religion or with God even. And so oftentimes what I'll have to say is, you know, what you've seen in Iran is based on, you know, do's and don'ts. And you've seen religion used as a means of harm rather than life. So to explain to them that this isn't about religion, it isn't about do's and don'ts, but it's about a relationship that is based on love, that is based on giving life. I find that they're more receptive to that. They're more receptive to a relationship that is based on love, that is based on life, because as I mentioned, a lot of them, even from childhood till now, you have a lot of Iranian adults who are like, yeah, like I've had death spoken over me since childhood. And so when somebody comes in and speaks life over them, that's a game changer for them. Absolutely.
Amen. Well, I just want to say, Heather, knowing you now for the last month, I am just amazed at how God has been using you in a very personal way with your passion to the Iranian people. And I just really appreciate you taking the time to share with us the deliverance that God gave you, the hope that God gave you, and how you've taken that to the people of Iran. And I want to thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. And I hope to have you on in the near future as we talk about the subject of deliverance and Christ and having a relationship with God. I want to thank you for taking your time this morning and to teach us and to give us hope. That's what it's all about, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, the hope of Jesus. Absolutely. And thank you, Randy, for allowing me to share and allowing the name of Jesus to be exalted. And I'm thankful for, you know, what he has allowed me to do and what he's going to do in the future.
Amen. Thank you for being obedient, Heather. Thank you for taking your time to invest your passion in the lives of Iranians. That's near and dear to my heart because this is what this program is about, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. God bless you, dear Heather.
Praise God. Thank you. You as well.
I want to thank my dear friend Heather Joy for being a special guest this morning, sharing the trauma in her life and how God has used that trauma for her to reach out to Iranian women and men. And as I'm thinking, excuse me, get a little caught in the throat there, as I'm thinking of the darkness that the world has experienced, the violence that we watch and witness on a daily basis in Iran, I'm reminded of this powerful song by Upper Room, talking about how we are surrounded by the angels of God, by the Spirit of God, that we have hope and we have confidence that our God is greater than all of the evil in the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I want us to take a minute now after listening to Heather and listen to this song of hope from Upper Room. This is called Surrounded.
Thank you.
What a song of encouragement from Upper Room, Surrounded. This is encouragement because there are times when you and I feel overwhelmed and oppressed. We feel like the darkness is just strangleholding our lives, and yet we need to be reminded of this biblical example. Elisha told his friend, "Don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elijah prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. We need to sometimes have that vision, that portal into the spirit realm. We need to sometimes cry out, "God, show me that in this situation there are more for us than those against us." And in this case, Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes and let him see." And it was immediate that the Lord opened his servant's eyes. He looked up and he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. We need to recognize that in our situation, where oppression and darkness seem to be all around us, there are more for us. The angels of the Lord encamp around them that fear him. Do you realize that if we had the ability to see for just a few seconds in the spirit realm, and we see these chariots of fire, the confidence and the boldness, the stability that would give us, that spiritual realm is so real. We're surrounded here in this broken world with death and suffering and evil. We see it on a daily basis. But the realm of the spirit, the unseen realm, is so much more real. And the Bible talks about that again and again and again, that though this outer man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed day by day. We need to ask God, like Elijah prayed for his servant friend, open his eyes that he can see the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the protection that God gives us. And what blesses me so much about Heather is that she gives Iranians the hope that they're looking for. Lives have been tormented and traumatized. And sometimes they just feel hopeless. They're getting online to look for something better. They've seen what religion has done in their country. They are witnesses of that. I know when I have talked to my friends and I've written their stories, it is a very difficult barrier to penetrate. They have no desire for religion. "I hate religion," is what my friend Maral said. Well, I told her as I was sharing with Heather, I'm not here to talk about religion. I'm here to talk about a relationship with Jesus. And it's a love relationship, Maral. And as she listened to me and allowed me to share the scriptures with her, it was many years later when she finally arrived safely in Germany after spending several months in buses, on foot, with a group of refugees. When she finally became the asylum seeker in Germany, one of the first things Maral did was find a church. And I'll never forget the day she said she went to this Lutheran church in Germany, and it was there that she gave her heart to Jesus. I want to tell you, there's nothing more joyful. I still remember that day. But you see, this is the hope that Iranians need. This is the hope that Heather gives Iranians. And so I had her on this morning because I want you to know there are many dedicated people out there like Heather that see what's happening in Iran. They see the courageous Iranians rising up to fight for their lives, but they're human beings. They have hurts and weaknesses and frustrations. And what I love about Heather is that she meets with them online one-on-one and shares with them She shares in a practical way. She helps them with English, but she gets to the heart of the matter. She gives them the hope of the gospel. It is the gospel that brings life transformation to spiritually dead people. We see how the gospel gives spiritually dead people new life, hope, and freedom. And that's why this program is called The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Ron. Imagine a desert with a parched throat. You're crying out for water, and Jesus is the living water that brings you hope and freedom in your desert experience. It's the living water that quenches your thirst. Jesus is the bread of life. He who believes in me shall never go hungry. He who trusts in me will never be thirsty again. Jesus gives that satisfaction, that fulfillment that Iranians are looking for. And that is why this morning, if you're listening and you can relate to some of the things that Heather shared, some of the things that I'm sharing, I encourage you, if you've never before cried out to Jesus, cry out to him. He will reveal himself to you. You will find in Jesus the love, the forgiveness of all of your guilt and shame. Talking about having a life-changing encounter with the God of the universe. We're not talking about the do's and don'ts of legalism and religion. I'm talking about a one-on-one, life-changing encounter with the God of the universe. And this is the hope that Iranians need. This is the hope that many of them are looking for. And so once again, I want to thank my dear friend Heather for taking out her time to share her personal trauma and how God is using it to transform the lives of Iranian men and women all over the world. It is a joy to know someone like that is doing that. And there are many others out there that hopefully one day I will get to meet as well. But I want to thank you today for taking time out of your busy life and to join me today on the broadcast. Monday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, I will be back on Blog Talk Radio, Across in the Desert, for another program. Please have a great weekend. Please be safe. And know that the God of the universe loves you and has a plan and purpose for your life. Have a great weekend. God bless you.